because they had so much fun with us the other day, they've decided to come back and join us again. It's Lana Steinhaus and Karen Senkis from the Chippewa County Health Department.
Good morning.
Good morning. You had a good time the other day with us, so you decided to come back and share some more information with us, right?
Absolutely.
So yesterday we had the, and I know you guys, I'm sure, have an agenda, and we'll get to that. But yesterday the governor was on, and they're talking, and the one thing that obviously a lot of people are hoping for is getting back to being able to go out to dinner and go to restaurants. And I know obviously the restaurants in town are anxiously awaiting that too. She kind of set a date there of February 1st. Do you think that that's going to be is it too early to say that that's really going to happen, or is it feeling like that might be the case?
I think it'll happen to a degree. And by that, I mean, I do believe that the governor, along with Robert Gordon from the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services, I think they are working on a plan to help restaurants open safely. So will they just be opening up as usual? I don't think that'll happen. I think they will probably allow them to open up again with some parameters. But I do believe that they are working towards that.
Yeah, it's, I know, obviously, and I'm sure you hear it more than a lot of people from the restaurants and everything, looking for direction on how they can do things and what they're going to have to do. I'm sure that they'll start buzzing your phones again here as we get closer to that date as to what the guidelines are going to be. Because in addition to, what you're doing as far as, immunizations and getting people shots for COVID and everything, that's part of the health department's job, too, is making sure that the restaurants are running safely.
Absolutely. And I will say, we have had a wonderful, we really have not had difficulty with our restaurants or our bars throughout this whole scenario for the last 10 months, for lack of a better word.
Sure.
Everyone has been extremely cooperative. If they've had questions, they've called. If something has happened where we may have received a complaint, as soon as we call them, they make the correction. We have been extremely lucky, and we are extremely thankful that the businesses in this area have been working with us so well.
The other thing that I know that you've been working with the schools and everything as far as making sure that they're safe, and another thing that they talked about is sports getting back underway, and perhaps that same February 1st start time for like boys and girls basketball and hockey. And I know there's obviously a lot of parents of players that want to see their kids play. Obviously, I'm sure the kids want to get out there and compete and everything. You're feeling that that's a good start date too?
Possibly, yeah. I really wish we had more inside information, but as we said the other day, we really don't get a sneak peek at things. But again, schools have been wonderful to work with too. They've been abiding by everything that they need to, and I do know that they are chomping at the bit to get winter sports started. There was one item in the order where if it's a non-contact sport right now, they can resume some practice and play. Such as swimming. I can't remember the other sports that they mentioned. So some things are able to start back up. It's just those contact sports, such as wrestling, which I know a lot of people are really eager to start that sport up, and basketball, and
open up fitness. Their fitness centers, dance studios can open back up within parameters. And right off the top, I can't tell you what those are, but there are certain parameters to allow them to be operational again. So some things did, we're starting to see some progress. And as long as everyone continues to follow the recommendations, we should continue to keep things pretty level the way they have been all along.
We're talking to Lana Steinhaus and Karen Senkis from the Chippewa County Health Department. I know the other day when we were on, we were talking a little bit about the immunization schedule as far as, right now, frontline healthcare workers are pretty much gotten their first, and I'm assuming I know my wife got her second shot Monday, I think it was, and now we're working on getting people that are I think it was a 75 and older or 65 and older, something like that. How's that progress? Has it much changed since Monday?
Nope. We will not find out until tomorrow what our next allotment will look like for either Pfizer or Moderna. But we've been running clinics nonstop this week. We've been, as we had mentioned the other day, we've been carving out times for 65 and up and simultaneously trying to get through the essential workforce. So what was the number
as of yesterday, we did 965 just from Chippewa County the health department alone has put out
wow. 952
vaccines. So that's not including anything else. Now, when you go to the state website, it does show that overall, as of through the 13th, that 3,125 vaccines have been given. But that number doesn't even include Bay Mills or Sioux Tribe numbers. So there has been a significant amount of vaccines actually given for our county. We're doing really well when you compare ourselves to the rest of the state. So even though I know it feels like a slow process, we are actually, our county is doing really well as a whole.
And the other day you made it sounded like, you know, with the Bay Mills Tribe and the Sioux Tribe getting vaccines and starting to vaccinate some of their members and everything, that was actually helping to expedite the county as a whole getting vaccinated.
Absolutely. On a phone call yesterday with our health partners, Bay Mills reported out that they had done nearly 400 vaccines just through their clinic alone, and Sioux Tribe had done had administered close to 1,600. And again, that covers their seven county region that they cover. But that's a lot of vaccine going out in a very short period of time, and it does greatly impact the people within our community.
Are you hearing a lot of people having adverse reactions to the vaccine?
No. Very, very little, if we're hearing anything at all. To be honest, there hasn't been anything major that we have been informed of. Through our own clinics, there's been nothing. So it's been a pretty, compared to what you do see, you know, through other news sources and making it seem like there's, you know, all these people that are unfortunately having reactions, we haven't been seeing that.
So the primary complaint is a sore arm that can last a couple days. We've heard some people complain of fatigue for about a day after, maybe some very, very mild flu-like symptoms, like along with that fatigue and maybe slight nausea. But that's all we've heard. We have not seen anyone take a day off of work the following day. And I know that everyone responds differently to a vaccine, but firsthand, what we've seen is extremely mild.
I know the other day we also talked about, you know, how people are really chomping at the bit to get this, and you kind of alluded to that a little bit. We talked about it a little bit the other day, but as far as people that haven't gotten the vaccine and they want to get in line and get their vaccine, I know we said the other day patients and everything. Are you still getting a lot of people inquiring about the vaccine that maybe they just need to wait a little bit longer?
Yeah, and the message we'd like to put out is if you are not eligible right now, and by not being eligible, that means you are not falling into that 1B category for an essential worker, or you are not 65 and up. Please, you know, just be patient and watch for our information in the press and on the radio when we move into the time that we can actually vaccinate you. But if you're just calling to find out a timeline, we really encourage, in order to avoid tying up the phone line for people that do meet those specifics and are eligible for the vaccine, we're asking that you just wait and see information either posted on social media through the radio or in print.
And we're actually working directly with the essential workforce employers to get the employee scheduled, because otherwise we can't really control who's coming and going. So
sure,
we actually are working directly with the employers who are in that priority population, and we're scheduling the employees through the employer. So the employees don't need to contact us because we are working through the employers.
And as we mentioned the other day, too, is that if you are an essential worker and at some point you're going to get your shot, maybe it's a good time for those businesses or those organizations to start polling their employees to say, who wants to get the shot? We're going to be coming up here pretty soon, and as soon as they do, we want to let them know, hey, we've got 20 people here that want to get a shot, or we've got, you know, 70 people that want to get a shot, depending on the business. You said the other day that was not a bad idea to do that.
It's a very good idea, and we actually, when we've had calls from employers that maybe don't meet this first group, we are asking them to do that. At least get the information gathered up, and then when we are ready to move into your segment, we can say, where's your list, and we can jump on it from there.
They mentioned in the news this morning, I don't know if you heard it, but that there was maybe a third vaccine that was getting ready to get approved by Johnson & Johnson. Do you guys know much about that?
We don't know much about it, but that is the one-dose vaccine, which would be wonderful. in the respect that everyone getting the vaccine right now, we are automatically scheduling for that second appointment. So when people have to come back in for that second dose, then our clinics are filling up and we can't administer first doses. So getting that first, that one-time dose vaccine would be really, really efficient for people. I have not, though, heard much about the efficacy of it. I really don't know that much about it. We've been really concentrating on the Moderna and the Pfizer. So,
and I'm sure for those that don't like to get vaccinations, the one shot will be so much better. So there's a point just in and of itself.
And I would think that would be good for, you know, when you get to the point where you're vaccinating the general public, once you get through all the other, you know, different groups and everything, the essential workers and stuff. And when we see these in some of these big cities where they're lining up in stadiums and everything, and they're doing, I saw someplace in California, they were going to be open 24 hours a day for the next 2 weeks to vaccinate people and everything. I would imagine a one dose thing, come on in, get your shot and get out of here, would be much better than trying to chase down that person to get another shot, because, you know, it's from what I understand, the two that are out there right now, you really need to get that booster shot for it to be completely, you know, at least 95% or whatever it is effective.
You do. And you should be following up with where you got in the first place is where you returned to get it, because the way the vaccines are allocated, it's, if you use 200 doses, you're going to get 200 more for your second round. So it's very important that people, if you get your vaccine at the health department, Chippewa County, you come back to Chippewa County, or as we mentioned earlier in the week, if you can't be here for your second, then you need to get your first in the same place you're going to be. Otherwise, you have uneven dosages, and we don't know how we would catch up with that, and the state hasn't really given us any guidance on that either. So,
one of the things that, and as I said, my wife got her second the other day, and I just she gave this to me. She wanted me to get it laminated. Is that when you get your vaccine, and I guess a lot of people who haven't got it don't know that, you get a card from the CDC that says it's your vaccination record card and everything. It's got your name and when you got your shots. And I guess that's going to be something that's going to be important to have as we move forward, because I would imagine, like a lot of things, you might have to prove, hey, I've got my COVID shot, I'm okay.
You might. I mean, we've heard rumblings of that for the last couple months, that we're just not sure what may be required for air travel or any type of mass travel like that if you are, you know, obviously sitting very close to other people for a long period of time. That might be a requirement. So we are advising people, do not lose that card. Of course, your vaccinations are kept in a state site that we can access as well. So if anyone did lose it and they needed proof of their vaccine, we could produce that. But it is a good idea to hang on to that card just in case.
And that's the same place where you would get, like, your kid's immunization. Is it MICR or whatever it is? And
MICR.
Yeah. That's one of the benefits of having a wife who's a nurse. You learn some of the I don't know what it means, but I've heard her use the word before. So.
Michigan something.
Yeah. It's a shot record. That's what I know. So. And the other thing, and I'm going to just throw her under the bus because she's my sister. She asked me, she said, and she hasn't gotten vaccinated yet, and she's not in any of the essential worker spots, but she was questioning, and I think we talked about this the other day, even after you get your shot, and even after you get your second booster shot or whatever, you still need to do all the other things that we've been doing as far as wearing the mask and social distancing and washing your hands. You still have to continue to do that, correct?
You do, and people have to remember, this is still a brand new virus. you know, we're going to be living with COVID-19 for quite a while. And as I mentioned the other day, researchers are just going to keep finding more and more about how this virus spreads, how contagious it is, and we just have to all, you know, continue to do our part until they're able to really determine whether or not we're at a point where it's not being spread as rapidly, or however they make that determination. But we have not even been living with this for a full year yet.
Right.
And people do need to keep that in mind. You know, I know that there's been a lot of progress in terms of research about the virus, a lot of progress, obviously, on the vaccine. We find out more and more about the contagious nature of it. But we still don't know that much. It's a year old.
It sure feels like a longer than a year, though, doesn't it? My gosh, I try to think back what it was like last January. We kind of like we go back into a time machine and be back in last January when we were kind of oblivious to it. But and that's a good point too, because we're hearing again. There's I know there's one mutation, and I think I heard in the news that they're identifying maybe another mutation of this now.
Yeah. But it has been over right from the beginning. It's had different mutations and. Some are, and of course, in the beginning, it was when this first came to light, nobody paid much attention to that because we were just trying to control it. So I think there has been, I mean, even within the state, there's been various variants, I guess, of it. So it's not, we don't know enough about to be able to speak of the current ones going on, but I know the state is keeping an eye on it because it seems to be a little more contagious is what seems to be being set out, you know, through science, but that's about all we know at this moment.
And I'm sure that it's, I think we've talked about this over, you know, the past few times that we've talked. It's got to be frustrating, again, as a healthcare professional, and it seems like so many people have so much time on their hands now that they're all becoming like experts on this, you know, by, you know, reading stuff online or stuff. And I'm using experts in air quotes there. Yeah, because it seems like there's so many people out there that think they know everything about this, and it seems like there's a lot of misinformation out there about it, which has got to be frustrating on your end.
It is, and you know, we always encourage people, you have to go to a valid site. You really should be sticking with the CDC, anything through the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services. You know, don't get on some website that, I don't know, I can't even think of a name right now, and I don't want to be sued either for throwing a website
right.
name
sure,
up
right.
there that's not valid, but mm-hmm. really stick to those websites that you know are vetted and that research is being reported through them.
And it's always good to educate yourself. I mean, there's definitely, we would highly encourage it. Certainly, we would like to know everything we could know about the virus and you know, how it's changing and things as life goes on with it, how we're supposed to cope with it. We would encourage everyone to educate yourself, but educate wisely, use appropriate sources.
Like listening to this interview with Karen in Atlanta, right? Anything else you want to get out there? I know we've talked the other day, and we were going to maybe up our conversations a little bit now as the vaccine's rolling out a little bit more, just to kind of keep people up to date on what's happening. But anything you want to let people know this morning? Or
no, I think that we were hoping, and I say this gently here, we're hoping to be able to open back up, you know, in the next little bit. The phone lines and be able to start adding more names and getting more people scheduled. So we're hopeful our vaccine allotments keep coming in and we get what we need so that we can move forward. We do understand everyone is anxious and we're very happy that so many people do want the vaccine. So we're really hopeful we can open these clinics back up more than we're doing now and be able to get everybody who wants it scheduled.
I think everybody just kind of wants this to be over, and like you said, we're going to be with it for a while. But you know, hopefully, getting this vaccine will get us a little bit closer to it. And I understand people's impatience on wanting it, and I'm sure you guys are seeing it in spades there at the health department. And you know, it's got to be tough because I know you want to get everybody vaccinated and everything, and you're doing the best you can with what you got. And people just need to be patient, and you'll get your shot. Without a doubt, right?
That's right.
They will.
Who knows? Maybe by summer we'll be setting up a huge vaccine clinic at the football field or something like that. That's what we're hoping. You know, that at that point it'll be available to anyone and everyone, and we can just do these mass vaccine clinics that we're seeing other parts of the nation doing right now. And we certainly have the health partners in this area that are more than willing to partner up with us and be able to get that vaccine out quickly when we do get to that point. So,
and how are our numbers, before we let you go, how are our numbers right now in the county?
You just caught us off guard.
We were all about
Thank
the vaccine.
You. We were hoping we could get out of this call without having to worry about that right now.
Okay, well, then you don't worry about it. Then that's fine. Because they're just, at this point, go ahead.
Sorry.
Oh, no, that's fine.
No, I was going to say, go ahead and keep talking, and I'll try to find the numbers from the other day.
I guess the biggest thing that, you know, the concern is that the hospital isn't overrun with patients. We had Dave on the other day from War Memorial, and sounded like the inpatients there had diminished a little bit, but I know that can change from day to day.
So as of yesterday, and this was about 1 o'clock yesterday, mm-hmm. we had a total of 1,626 cases. 1,152 people are in recovery. I had noted 15 deaths, but we may have had one more death since yesterday. We've got to confirm that.
Mm-hmm.
And at 1 o'clock yesterday, we had 4 people from Chippewa County Hospital.
That's not bad. There's been time. We had 22 at one point, I know, so that's pretty good. So,
yes.
Seems like we're going in the right direction there, too. So sorry to throw you off base there.
That's okay. I just had to go grab my staff.
You'd think we would have that information right on the top of our minds, but...
I would think that would be, because I imagine I'm not the only person that asks you that, you know, so...
No, I usually do get a daily update. I just left it on my desk.
Well, like I say, I think it's great that we're going to, that you guys are taking the time to be on here and just keep people updated, and we'll do that again a couple times, maybe next week as well, as things, you know, and again, like I've told you all along, as much airtime as you guys need to get the information out there, you guys can have it. We appreciate you taking the time out of your day. I know you guys are so busy with so many other things. Take the time to talk to us and let the listeners know what's happening is greatly appreciated. And obviously everything that you guys are doing at the health department, you're earning your pay this past year. That's for sure.
That's for sure.
that's topic for another day, right? Well, Karen and Lana, thanks so much. And again, have a great weekend. We'll look forward to talking to you next week, okay?
Great. Thank you.
All right. Lana Steinhaus and Karen Sankus joining us this morning here on 1230 WSOO.